Next, hold people accountable for their level. Hold people accountable for their level. So if they're going to act like a person at a certain level, they're going to be held accountable for that level. And so that means if you're asking them to give, you've got to check their giving. And if they stop giving, they relinquish their right to serve. So if somebody's been a team leader for a semester, don't automatically assume they get to be the team leader for the next semester until you check their records. Are they serving? Are they attending? Are they growing? Whatever it is. Same thing with membership. You know, you could put a membership ladder up there as well. You know, year one, year two, year three. And in order for them to move up, you know, they have to do different things. But you hold people accountable for their level. And here's the thing. You don't get what you expect. You get what you inspect. You get what you inspect. And then probably the one that I have the most scars about is this last one. Beware the person who wants to rise but won't fulfill the requirements. Beware the person who wants to rise but won't fulfill the requirement. Let me do a story about one of the darkest times in our church. It had to do with artists. Satan was an artist. He was a music director, actually, to be precise. I've been waiting all day to tell that joke. So, the great thing about this is as we're recording this seminar, our worship arts team is away attending a conference. So that's a good day to do it. So in worship arts, for example, okay, so you've got what we would just call, let's take the band. You've got just what we would call a player. Not in that way, okay? Just, you know, I know that means something different out in L.A., but... Yeah, they just show up and play. They're just a member, you know, or whatever. They just show up and play. And then they have you know, they have some kind of team leadership. They're not a team leader, but they have some kind of team leadership. And then you have team leaders. And then you would have like the band leader. And we would have multiple band leaders. There'd be like an A, B, and C band leader. You know, you probably have like 16 or so team leaders. You know, I don't know, 25 or so people who have some kind of team leadership. Then down here, you know, you got 55 plus or something like that. Just people who just play that are just part of the, you know, they're part of the team, but they're not playing every Sunday or something like that. And so that's the ladder. It's a little bit of a pyramid too, you know, because you got more people at the bottom than you do at the top. So then we have this guy. We have this guy who gets up into this area. He's wanting to be a team leader. He already has team leadership. He's influencing a good number of people in the band. And I'm just getting the weirdo vibe. You ever get the weirdo vibe? You know, this guy didn't want to talk to me after the service. I see him around. He's sort of distant. You know, I kind of hear him talking sometimes, and I'm not sure that he's talking in the most godly way. And I'm just kind of getting this weirdo vibe. So I go and I look and come to find out, you know, he's at the level, should be this color, he's at the level where he should be a member. Like, if he's going to go from this level to this level, he has to go through membership class. So we pull his giving. And he gives well. He's actually a very good giver. So he's got that going for him. But he's not a member. So we have the conversation with him. We say, look, you know, we really like what you're doing here, and we think you're a good guy, but, you know, why don't you go through membership class? Well, he gives us a story. There's always a story, right? You know, he gives us a story. Seems reasonable. He's got a story, you know, he has a commitment to another church. He kind of wanted to keep that commitment. Give him a little time. He's going to go through membership class. So he stays in limbo between these two areas here, you know, going up and going down. Well, then just by the fact that he's pretty influential, between the time we have the conversation with him and the time we meet him again, he's moved up to this area. And he's now a team leader, one of 16 team leaders, influencing 25 people on the team, got access to a whole database list of people in our church. We said, wait a minute, did that guy ever go through membership class? Found out he didn't go through membership class. So we have the conversation with him again. And then it's on. You know where the story's going. He eventually leaves the church, takes 25 people with him. And some of those people who were in this 25 down here, they weren't even saved because salvation was down here. So this one guy, because he was like King Kong climbing up the Empire State Building, swatting down helicopters, you know, as he goes, he hurts some people here. And he hurts some people here. So we lose members and we lose lost people because this guy won't go through membership class. So he starts spreading allegations about, you know, other people on the team. Wasn't even me. I mean, he wasn't even mad at me. I had no interaction with the guy whatsoever. But all of a sudden, I've lost 25 artists because this one guy has led them down the wrong path because he went up the ladder without going through the proper stages. Anybody else have a name in mind of somebody at your church? Did that guy leave my church and go to your church? Yeah, I think he might have. Yeah, there's really only about four of these guys. They just move around a lot, you know. And so he learned to deal with them. But that's why I say beware of this person. So I kind of did the worship arts one here too. You know, you got your band members, you got people who maybe are over the horn section, then you got people who are over, you know, like scheduling, then you got people who are over the band. It doesn't really matter what you call this or how you measure it, just as long as you have a very, very clear ladder. I contend that if you figure this out, everything else falls into place. I mean, honestly, if you get that right, it's really going to all just fall into place. Now, here's a few other lessons that I've learned on the next page. What page are we on in your notes? 13, lucky number 13. Allow people to switch ladders. That was something, I got questions about that in the break. Allow people to switch ladders. You should be alert and maybe build some kind of a tracking system for people who are on too many ladders. I was telling a story to Lon during the break, one of New York coaching alumni guys. He was telling me about people who are on multiple ladders. Well, we had a situation a while back where we had a girl who was moving up, and by girl, I mean young lady, and, you know, lady is, sorry, bad term, girl. But, you know, we had a lady who was moving up, and she was moving up the worship arts ladder while she was moving up the small group ladder. Now, we have a lot of ladders in our church, but there are some that are really important. I mean, really significant, like take a lot of time ladders. You know, worship arts is one, small groups is one. I would probably say children is one of those. I mean, office volunteer ladder doesn't take a lot of time, you know, a little bit of time here and there, but these are big ladders. And so she's moving up. And so worship arts wants her to go to the next level. Groups want her to go to the next level. And so we realized she's been serving for about 6-9 months in both. So we have a conversation with her, found out she's just burnt out. You know, we gave her the choice. Which one do you want to serve on? She says, I don't know. We said, well, take some time. So she took about 3 or 4 months off. She came back. She's now serving on the groups ladder. Now, it could have been just the opposite. It could have been that she was moving up the worship arts ladder, but decided she wanted to be a groups person. You know, maybe she wasn't that serious about being a musician. We got to allow people to switch ladders. One of the big problems with most ministry systems is if you switch ladders, the people on the old ladder condemn you for switching, you know. So why would you ever leave, you know? But you've got to allow that kind of give and take. And actually, I found that most of the time, the ladder a person begins with is not the ladder they stay with. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, I was really wanting to get involved in groups, but you know what? I've really found my place of service over in children. They can still be a group member. They can still be on the low rung of the group's ladder, but they're going to be on the high rung of the children's ladder. So we've got to really allow people to switch ladders. And you got to be careful, too, that you don't have people too high up on too many ladders. Make sense? You've only got 2 feet. So, you know, maybe 2 foot on each one. Next, allow people to take a break from serving. To take a break. I think you figured this out right now, right? How do I fire a volunteer? Yeah, you just let them expire. Yeah. The term just expires. So, you know, you've served for 6 months. Congratulations. It's time to take a break. You know, never call them again. That's how it works, you know. But, you know, that's how you fire a volunteer. Now, if you can't do that, you've got to actually have the conversation, you know, and the conversation is the quads. The conversation is, you know, taking a break. The conversation is we care about you. But the best way to deal with this issue is to never fire a volunteer, but to make sure you put timelines. And over time, what you do, or over time, what happens is you figure out how long it takes to take a step on the ladder and then how long it takes for you to determine if it was the right step. So we've determined with groups it's 1 semester. 1 semester will tell us. 2 semesters at most, we know. You know, with worship arts, we think it takes about 6 months. So in 6 months, we know. In a year, we definitely know. So you just put these timelines on it. With children, probably about 3 weeks, you know. You can figure it out. After they serve about 3 weeks, you can figure out this is the right place with them. You know, other things might take a long time. Somebody who serves as an usher might take a year to figure out that that's not where they need to serve. So you put these timelines on things based on how long it takes them to get connected and how long it could take them to screw it up. That's harsh, but it's true, right? So how do you fire a volunteer? Well, the best thing is you just let their term expire. And then you say, look, we're going to take a break. I'll call you when it's time for you to start. And you never call. That's how it works. Okay, always challenge people to go to the next level. Always challenge people to go to the next level. So whatever level they're at, you know, you're hoping to move them up. Now, there is an exception to this, and I hate to use always and never, but, you know, in a seminar, you always use those words. But there does come a time where somebody finds their sweet spot, and you let them sit there, you know. Like with a group leader, for example, who's a team leader and a group leader, they may go back and forth between group leadership and team leadership. You know, so you allow that to happen. And once they reach a certain point, you know, you want to let them be static, but especially on the lower rungs, you want to kind of move them up, you know, into service and into growth. And if they're on a ladder that they can't move up, they need to find a ladder where they can. So, you know, it's okay to be a group member. It's okay to be an occasional volunteer in children. It's okay to be occasional volunteer in worship. But they really need to find one where they can start going deeper and become more of a servant. Because what they might do is they might just be keeping you at arm's length. Here's a question that came up at the break. At a certain point, you may need to compensate high-capacity volunteers. At some point, you may need to compensate high-capacity volunteers. I sort of left room in your notes for you to draw this pyramid, but you may have to draw it small in your notes. I want to give you how the ministry system and how staffing fit together, just so you can see that. I mentioned that earlier, that in many ways your ministry system can be the staffing funnel. So I'm going to draw this appropriately, which is an upside-down pyramid. And so at the top of the pyramid, you've got the community from Rick Warren's outer circle that you're trying to serve, your community, your city that you're trying to serve. And then inside the pyramid, the first level is you've got attenders. These are people who just attend your church. They're not necessarily members. They're just kind of, they're part of the crowd, to use that. And then you've got another level. These are members. And then I'm going to filter down here for just a moment. At the bottom of this, you've got your paid, your full-time staff or your pastoral staff, maybe. And so I think it's biblical to draw this upside down. I mean, you could flip it over and draw it like a regular pyramid, but, you know, the idea is that the pastoral staff exists to serve up. You know, so we serve the members, we serve the crowd, we're the equippers for that. So what I want to do is I want to put some levels in here. So you've got members, and then you've got volunteers. And then you've got what I would call high-capacity volunteers. And then you've got part-time staff that are right here. And then you've got your admin staff maybe right here. And in some churches, you know, these would collapse together. Certain ones of these might, depending on your size of your church. But as somebody moves up from the community to an attender, or moves down, and then from an attender to member and volunteers, the first thing you want to do is you want to clarify every single step. You know, so what, you know, clarity again is the key. This is the ladder. But there comes a point where a volunteer becomes so important to that ministry area that they're a high-capacity volunteer. And this, of course, would be like a team leader on the group system. They're high-capacity volunteers. That's what HCV stands for, high-capacity volunteers. That's a Heibel's term. He probably stole it from Spurgeon. So, you know, if you don't know who to attribute something to, you just attribute it to Spurgeon or Winston Churchill. So Spurgeon or Winston Churchill said that it's high-capacity volunteers, and that was passed down. But there also becomes a point where you might need to create another level right in here. I know I just screwed up your diagram, but I call $50 a week volunteers, and then part-time staff. There is a level between part-time and high capacity that sometimes you need to create, and $50 a week. I used to call it $75 a week, but now during the recession, you can actually get by with $50. This is a volunteer that has become so important to the volunteer ladder that they're running that you probably need to compensate them. Let me give you an easy example of this. Let's say you've got a group of guys that run the soundboard. Sound people are very important. You know, you should really value your sound people. I'm saying this for the sake of our sound guy, you know, who's back there. But yeah, sound people are really important. I mean, they have a technical skill that not everybody has, and they usually really like what they do. I mean, they love to play with the toys. They love to do a good job. They love to make it sound well. And so you get a sound team going. So you've got some volunteers on your sound team. And then you've usually got a high-capacity volunteer who kind of runs it. And he's the guy that kind of maybe knows a little bit more than the others. If nobody else is going to be there, he's going to be there to make sure it happens. And then over time, what will happen is maybe you've got multiple teams that this high-capacity volunteer is having to oversee, but they become so important, you really need to get them there almost every Sunday. And so what you might do is you might go to that person and say, look, you know, you know this is a really valuable ministry. And I know you're probably not going to want to do what I'm about to tell you I want to do, but I want to in some way reward you for being here. And I want to provide some kind of basic compensation, maybe just to help you with gas expense or some of the meals that you have to eat on the road. I would like to give you $75 a week or $150 a week or, you know, $50 a week or whatever. And what I'd like to do with that is I would like to start paying you this $50 a week and really let's clarify what it is that you do.